This party is a bore. Accompany me to the laboratory and I'll show you my latest creation.
That would be lovely.
Igor, how's the monster coming along?
The storm approaches, Master. It's time. It's time.
Excellent.
Mean power to maximum. Biogenic generation engaged. Raise the monster.
It's time for
the Jimmy Dome. Yeah. Yes, we're live. We're back. And we're streaming today.
Yeah, we are streaming.
This is great. Okay. I got that mojo. And
you got mojo?
I got mojo today. Today we have mojo. It's a beautiful day here in Gainesville, Florida. Typical Florida winter day. You're going to be right. 70 degrees, I think. No snow in sight. Well, nope. Unless you look at the Weather Channel.
Cold!
That's it. So the snowbirds are in full flight coming down here.
Come on down.
Come on down. Bring your Canadian greens. Bring your money. That's right. Speaking of money, we got our donation.
Yes, we did.
Got another donation. We appreciate that. And
We'll send him a get-out-of-jail-free card.
Well, actually, what I did, and the hanger dogs are on, by the way.
Okay.
Hey, the hanger dogs are here. Yes. We love the hanger dogs. They decided to say hi. This is great. Anyway.
What did you do? You sent the guy...
I sent the guy a couple of books, actually.
Envelope with some powder in it.
Yeah, that's right. Well, it was coated down, that's right. No, I didn't do that. I haven't heard back from him, actually, and I haven't read about anything in the
mail
news.
Exploding.
So, right, so I'm guessing he got it, and... But he did get a worthwhile present from Jimmy. And
really?
In fact, those were official Jimmy Dome books because I put the sticker on there and signed one.
Wow, actual merchandise.
Actual merchandise. And that's what now, Counselor Curtis was here with us today. Hello, Curtis.
Hey, how you doing?
And Engineer Eric.
Yep.
We're missing Jack.
Well, Jack had a baby.
Oh, that's right. Well, yep. His wife, actually.
Well, yeah, his wife.
This is numero tres.
Tres for Jack Rose.
That's right.
So he is stocking the family ranch.
That's right.
So, yeah, he couldn't be here today. But
that's okay. We'll make fun of him. He's on our...
Since he's not here.
He's on our game.
Our S hit list. Anyway, I did get the get-out-of-jail-free cards.
Yeah, that's great.
Those we'll send out to...
We'll have to have Curtis read what's on them here in a minute.
That's right. Just before we get started on the list,
right,
which is extensive, I wanted to mention some of the listeners that have been here. We appreciate always is Oklahoma City, Reno, Nevada. Reno, hi, Reno. Hey, babe. And Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Of course, the Hanger Dog's always out there. Colorado, a lot of people in Colorado listen to us. I did notice for some reason that we were number one again on a search term called speeding car.
Mm-hmm.
Any reason for that? Have we talked about speeding?
No, it was on singingfish.com, which makes no sense. I think you just put in a keyword term there, and they randomly bring up websites or
okay,
something.
Okay, well, we came up, and then for some reason, and McFly, that was another one.
Yeah, we talked about Marty getting hammered by Rush. So.
Then we have a new listener from Kanij, India, wherever that is. And also, I don't have the full list here, but we did get a new country, and one that I can't even pronounce the name of it. But we'll think of that. Hello to new country.
You know, the Kanger Dog actually did send us a Christmas wish.
What?
Yeah, I got this little thing here.
This is the Hanger Dogs from lovely Colorado. We have a message for the Jimmy Don't Show and all your loyal listeners. And from
Gene
and Stitch
and Pinky,
we want to wish you, well, we already wished you a Merry Christmas.
We'll have another one.
Please do.
Don't cost nothing.
Yeah.
The dogs wishing the Jimmy Don't Show a very Merry Christmas.
Well, mostly their listeners.
And their listeners.
Yeah.
Both of them.
But if you don't like Christmas,
Go to SeaTac.
Yeah, go to SeaTac and celebrate with them without any Christmas trees, I think. Hey, top notch, everybody. Have a great holiday season. Merry Christmas to everybody.
Hey, all right.
Right. Right on.
Tune in. Bye-bye.
Boy, all right.
What a bunch of whore dogs. Can you imagine those guys getting a plug-in on their show? Not enough that we do it. Yeah, they come in and record their own crap to put on. So are we just going to rename this the Jimmy Don't Hanger Dog Show?
The Jimmy Dog Show.
The Jimmy Dog Show. That's right. That's right. The Hanger Dome Show. Okay, this is good. No. Close enough.
All right, what do we got on
the list today? Let me just run through the list here real quick, as usual. Dairy industry, another government thing, another government crushing.
Thing
is a good word. No, the dairy industry, an independent guy decided he wanted to go into the milk business, too bad. Next is New York, of course. Remember the Translite? They have decided.
Transfat.
Mm-hmm. They've decided to do something about that.
Mm-hmm. New York Light.
Yes, exactly right. Hard to believe, but FEMA's back in the news, as is New Orleans. Mm. We're going to talk a little bit about William Jefferson, $92,000 in my freezer. William Jefferson. Jefferson. Okay. I just automatically rolls off the tongue when you say.
Right off that tongue.
That's right. Hard to believe the Coast Guard's wasted some money. Mm-hmm. One of the senators has decided to police the web and make it a SWAT team offense to post certain kinds of
child porn,
exactly, or even think about it.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk a little bit about that.
They also want to put some rules on space tourism.
I didn't put that on the list, but I did want you to talk about that. I did want you to talk about that. And, of course, the big news, as we speak, is Mr. Brainbleed, who may or may not die. Senator... somebody or another.
I would use that sound effect heartbeat slowing the tone, except for every one of my sound effects was used on the last show. So thanks to Counselor Curtis over there.
Well, he just went through the list. They're all gone.
Yeah,
commenting in audio.
Yeah, exactly. Of course, it made no sense.
What are you talking about? Apropos.
Yeah, that's right. We're talking about airplanes, and you hear clank and some door closes.
It was the Bombardier door.
That's right. Yeah, okay, fine. Exactly so. Now, we're going to get some in this. We did see that, got a note from the Hanger Dogs that apparently made one person laugh.
Hey, I've done my job.
I've been replaced.
I guess we ought to give you your own little sound effects thing over there, Counselor.
Yeah, that'd be dangerous.
Dangerous.
Don't give him any ideas. That's right. Hard enough for me to mix this stuff.
That'd be like giving a gun with bullets.
Whiskey and car keys.
That's right, teenage boy. Okay, the scope of this one, I wanted to have our counselor weigh in on the scope of the Second Amendment question in Washington, D.C. You got it. Okay. The U.S. has decided to ban the melting of pennies and nickels. Can you imagine? Yes.
Man, I had my melter all fired up.
Me too.
Your melter was all fired up. Alps are getting warm. No snow there. And no snow by 2040 in the Arctic. Yes.
So we'll be
finding a place called Eritrea. We want to talk about a brand new. This is a country that I've never heard of called Eritrea, and they've decided to just do the socialistic thing in protecting the environment. And I don't even know where they are. We're going to find out. A school report from the federal government has urged changing the school system. Hard to believe. What's really hard to believe is the solution. They want more money. Okay, so we're going to talk about that. And in Alexandria, Virginia, they gave everybody a laptop. All the kids in school gave them all laptops.
Everybody's a genius now.
Well, not quite.
No?
Nah, hard to believe. No, I know.
I thought that was by definition.
Well, not quite. Mm-hmm. I don't know exactly. I think that most of the pawn shops are filled up with laptops now.
and the crack sales have increased dramatically.
The problem is that when you go down now to hawk your laptop, it used to be you could get like $100.
Right.
But there's such a flood of them.
Right.
They're like 10.
Right.
So that's a problem there. We're going to talk about that. Christmas tree, Seattle Airport.
Yeah.
Christmas trees.
Heard about that.
Yep. And the Privacy Board, there was a blue ribbon committee or board actually set up by under Bush to talk about privacy.
Mm-hmm. Publicly.
Well, not quite. Turns out they meet in secret.
Right.
Everything's a secret. Nobody knows who they are. They're on double secret.
Right. Until somebody hacks into their server and they lose another 10 billion people's files.
Exactly.
Right.
I guess I don't know if this is light notes or not, but Johns Hopkins decided to suspend a student for nefarious activities off campus, which we want to talk a little bit about. I want to find out from counselor about that. And the
bullshit.
Exactly. Cough. Bullshit cough. GOP lawmakers add provision to passing tax pay. Hard to believe, but in the dead of night, 3 a.m., they're still adding bells and whistles, trinkets on the trees, on the tax packages. Nobody gets to vote on it. Everybody gets to vote on it. Nobody gets to see what's in it. Hard to believe. And in Washington, another note in Washington, D.C., hard to believe, $611 million stadium, taxpayer dollars, mm-hmm. thank you so much, because, as you know, Washington, D.C. is supported by the rest of us.
Right.
They don't have, they're not a state. They get ruled by Congress, more or less. Although they do have sort of a home rule thing. And they, I want to tell you how they're watching out for our dollar. Boy, you'll be surprised to see how these guys, tight-fisted, whoo!
Really?
Hard to believe.
Lockbox!
Lockbox. That's, you're right, the lockbox. Mm-hmm. Speaking of that, we're going to talk also, a lot of this, as always, as most of our shows, the underlying theme is the coming lockdown mm-hmm. that we're headed for here in...
Again, I would play that sound effect, except for it's been used.
It's our, there, we actually may get a new listener. We've got...
That's right.
You never
can
we'll
come back next week.
That's right. We have to get you have to get the sound effects off of the old tape.
Right, yeah. Well, because, they're all there.
Oh, they are.
Yeah, on last week's show.
Yeah.
Yeah, all of mine are on there.
But I mean so they got used up here.
Right. They're
you
gone.
You can't find them.
I was looking them had
well, I think if you get a microscope on there, you can peel them off and put them back on your... Anyway, right, I'm gonna go through this. Dairy industry innovator crushed by bested by price control system. I mentioned this one time before. The dairy milk prices, people don't realize this, milk prices are governed by nationally since, I think, the mid-30s by something called the Milk Price Control Board.
The dawn of time.
That's right, the dawn of time. This article, I have it in...
Since cows were invented.
Since cows walked the earth, that's right, early cows, since they provided milk, which reminds me, as a small digression, should I go into... What are you going to play something now?
Well, I'm scrambling for a sound effect.
No,
I could do the digression music here. Yeah. That's still allowed.
Okay, that's good. They found out that milk was apparently not digestible by humans until just recently, like yesterday or the day before. That's why their milk, there is such a thing as lactose intolerant. So, because they didn't drink cow's milk in the early Neanderthal days. Anyway, yeah, dairy industry crushed innovator who bested the price control system. This is a typical example.
What was that again?
The dairy industry
right.
has crushed,
uh-huh.
or, yes, I can't think of some particular clever word.
Crushed or smashed.
Or
totally.
Or squashed out.
Okay, thank you. I was trying to come up with something a little better,
okay.
but that's okay. And he decided to sell milk independently, and they basically said no. And he was a fairly good-sized innovator. The story here is quite lengthy. It's in like 2-point type, and it's still 3 pages long. But I'm going to go through a couple of the
25 words or less.
Well, no, not quite. It's going to be a few more than that. This fellow is an immigrant from Holland or the Netherlands, mm-hmm. one of those. And
get down to 10.
And he decided to. He started off like cleaning stalls, mm-hmm. and he worked his way up to owning his own dairy farm. And I think it might have been in Arizona. And he decided to sell. Milk. It turns out that the milk board, because of Depression era laws, milk prices are dictated by how far you are from Racine, Wisconsin.
He's a ways.
That's right. So there are like 13,000 laws that govern the price of milk nationally in this country, depending on so many rules you cannot, very convoluted as you would expect, typical government type thing. Obviously, this is a program that has outlived its usefulness.
Well, your cow's brown, and so therefore...
Just about. The idea was public safety, mm-hmm. right? And to make sure that the dairy farmers, because milk was so essential during the Depression, to make sure they didn't go out of business so the little children mm-hmm. would have milk. Not content with mother's milk, but we want to have cow milk. So this was designed to protect all of that, 1934, whatever it is. Outlived its usefulness by about 1935. Still in effect today. So this guy just, it turns out there was a loophole in the law that said if you're a small farmer or if you happen to provide locally, whatever the loophole was, he exploited it. He set up a dairy herd and it turns out that he was selling milk larger and larger amounts, like 5% of the milk sold in Arizona to the school systems and various organizations. He was their preferred supplier because obviously he didn't have to abide by the rules. The pricing rules, the 13,000 pricing rules, he just did it on a cost plus basis, made his normal profit, actually did very well, had his own jet plane and everything, and was selling milk at 20 cents, roughly 20 cents a gallon underneath the prevailing rate. Well, this could not stand.
Right.
This could not stand. So they went to Congress.
Mm-hmm.
They got Congress to look into this, and he, by this time, was fairly wealthy. He had lots of dairies in California and in Arizona, and the California milk producers got together in the name of public safety and protecting the children and basically put him out of business. So that was essentially they got Congress to pass a bunch of new laws and said, oops, those instead of repealing a useless, a tit on a bull law, they decided to enforce it and enlarge it and make sure that this guy was put out of business. I mean,
it sounds like the work of the Chick-fil-A cows.
It could be.
I'd have just taken all my cows and stampeded them through Congress, you know.
That would have been a great idea. I certainly let me.
I can't use them anymore. Obviously, you must have some use for them.
Yeah.
Well, either that, or you could, as you know, those are pigs.
Oh, okay.
The other thing would have been to package up some of the methane from the cows.
Right.
As you know, we're responsible for one-third of global warming.
Right.
And global warm-up,
right.
Washington,
so
D.C.
Big Mickey Mouse hot air balloon and fill that up there.
And light it. No, this, well, you remember from our college days, don't you? You remember what lights in college days?
Yeah, exactly.
So you put a flame in back of a cow, boy. I'll tell you, that's going to be You could take. I'm surprised instead of flamethrowers during the Second World War, they didn't put a bunch of cows over there.
I could have got them to Congress from Arizona, just pointed them all that
that's
way,
right.
Waited for them to fart. It was a big fire.
That's right. Well, the problem
incoming.
Is the problem is actually it might have been a good thing because it would have crossed over. Through Nevada, Harry Reid was one of the sponsors. I think he was one of the guys. I forget whether he's a good guy back then, but he would have singed Nevada and Las Vegas. So we didn't want that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's typical example of Congress in coming into the.
And what's the deal with the Danish dude?
Actually, Dutch.
Dutch.
He now it turns out his name is Hettinga, born in the Netherlands, and it turns out that in order to. How can I put this? The way Congress solved the problem was they made him join the co-op. Whether he didn't get any of the benefits of it, but they had him pay dues according to what he was doing. It's about $400,000 a month are his dues. And of course,
all just reasonable regulations,
right? To exactly to protect the children.
Right.
So
he has to send a check to the U.S. from
to the dairy co-op. People
oh yeah.
For
or they're going to do what?
Probably pass some more laws.
But he's in Denmark.
No, you don't understand. He's an immigrant. He is a U.S. citizen. Worked his way up. I'm sorry. You didn't mean to take that.
I thought it was a story about some Danish dude in Daneland.
No, it's near Daneland. It's called the Netherlands.
Okay,
A.K.A. Holland.
Right. Which is close
where they speak Dutchese.
Neverland.
Neverland, that's right. And he came over here as an immigrant to do the American dream thing. And the people in Congress decided to crunch him like a bug. You think you want the American dream? I'll show you. That's right. Crush you like a bug.
All he wanted to do is own a cow.
Right.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. He started off literally
with Bessie.
With Bessie. I'm going to go milk Betsy now. Who's Bessie? Oh, hi, honey.
All right.
Now, he had to sell his cows, I think, to the. I don't know why you keep coming up with this Danish thing. It has to do with the. Norwegians going over to Denmark for their animal pleasures.
Maybe, I don't know.
He could have done that with his cows, maybe. Set
exactly.
up a cowboy.
I get more money.
Mm-hmm. Never wouldn't doubt. Okay, moving on to another government interference in the known world. New York has decided to ban trans fats.
Mm-hmm. Well, we talked about that.
We did.
Yeah. We talked about New York.
But this is a new one.
Yeah, it just came up this week. There was some. They're going to go light on the enforcement.
That's what the news was. Is that they said, hey, don't worry.
Yeah, don't worry. It's
a law.
Yeah,
but we're only going to get the bad guys.
That's right. Well, I thought this was interesting. I feel one of the neighborhood regional lines.
If you play a little ball,
yeah,
it's not a problem.
I mean, you know, the thing is that
you have to understand. These are the guys with the bent noses. You know, that's the Spanish. Where's the Latin? Where's the Italian accent? We need to do a Rosie O'Donnell here. Remember, she was on. She did the Chinga Changa thing with the Chinese and had to apologize. She's no friend of mine, but I'll tell you, I would have told him to jump in the lake. As far as I'm concerned,
I didn't realize that Ching Chong was a Chinese
Right.
So what?
Right. Well, I mean, the thing is that, can you imagine now? I mean, before, New York cops used to be like the coolest, but now you take away all their donuts.
Yeah, that's right. Well, yeah. Good point.
Yeah.
Can you imagine a
hornet's nest?
The trans fat lightness donut.
Right.
Oh,
right.
No.
That's, oh, no, no.
No, they're going to be out with, there's going to be more shootings in New York.
That, oh, yeah. That's like playing a high frequency noise at night, so nobody can really get a good sleep, you know? Everybody's just irritated.
That's right.
They don't know what the problem is, but their trans fats are missing out of the food.
Right, that's like a fix for them. Anyway, the industry obviously felt that there was going to be hefty fines. This is the world's unbelievable legalized protection racket, as most of them are, that you can imagine. I feel these people are out of whack. Let's see. I feel, this is a guy from the retail affiliate, on the restaurant board or whatever. He says, I feel that these people are out to whack these restaurants. Wow, I love this. Whack these whack restaurants. And it's a cash cow, as we were just speaking of, for that business, said Richard Lipsky of the Neighborhood Retail Alliance. And Christina Chang, the chief.
Jimmy, I can't believe you.
That's right. Yeah. Hi, Rosie. Watch this. The chief staff to the health commissioner, the health commissioner, Thomas Sweden. We just want them to comply.
This is not a money-making opportunity
for
us.
No, this is for the children.
This is for the children.
It's possible to pass inspection. One of the guys who is on the restaurant association says it's possible to pass an inspection and still be fined as much as $2,000 each time.
Mm-hmm. So it's not a money-making thing.
No. It never is.
No.
It never is. It's for the children.
Right.
The plans call for inspectors to begin enforcing the new rules next summer after an outreach campaign that will include the establishment of a helpline.
This We're going to appoint an ombudsman.
That's right. Helpline staffed by experts who can offer tips to chefs trying to change the way they cook.
Okay, what? You just cooked? Okay, don't cook that.
That's right. That's against the law. We're saying, rare. And then you can see them as the chef says, well, now, I'm mixing this here together, and I put some of this in, and she's, well, no, you really can't. Oh, could you hold just a minute, please? Hey, Bob, we got one over there on 33rd Street, and if you just go buy the recipe, $2,000, click. Yes, if you'll stand right there for another 5 minutes,
exactly.
we'll have somebody just come in and
help her.
That's right. We'll have a helper, dressed as an elf.
With a badge.
A badge uniform, anyway.
Right, uniformed elf.
That's right. So,
but I mean, he's really pissed off because he haven't had any donuts.
That's right. Trans fat for a month.
That's right. Can you imagine, though, your job when you get up in the morning and you kiss the wife and the kids goodbye and you're going out and, hi, Daddy, what do you do? I'm a trans fat enforcer expert or something.
Right.
I mean, and you have a badge that says Bob, and then underneath there's, you have a special patch.
Mm-hmm. And you have papers.
Now we ought to help divide, and you have papers. That's right. But we ought to have some help in designing the badge the patch.
Well, we should have a listener should help us out with this. If you have a good idea for what the badge should look like,
well, you know, they have a
the
badge.
The winner will get nothing, but we will talk about it.
No,
on the
they'll
show.
Get a they'll get a no, they can get a get out of jail.
Oh,
free
get out of jail.
We have
right.
we have get out of jail did. Free.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Now, along with with the submission, don't forget to send a PayPal of $10 donation.
Right.
That will enable you to actually enter.
Right. No purchase necessary.
No purchase
but
necessary.
You have to give a donation.
That's right.
Right.
That's right. No purchase necessary, but. But without donations,
right.
These submissions go straight to the Ethernet. They don't get here.
They don't get here.
That's right. So this is not going to be like a gotcha thing. It says doctor. They have a doctor. Dr. Elliot Marcus. His doctorate is, of course, we don't know what it's in. Giraffe testicles or something.
I always get alarmed when they pass laws that then they say that, oh, well, what we're going to do is use our discretion in the enforcement. What we're going to do is we're not going to enforce this really hard. We're not going to be really vigilant about it. Because let me tell you, people that they hire to do the job, they're going
to
be vigilant. That's what they do.
That's right.
That's what their job is.
Oh, this is just great.
Is it food enforcement?
I don't know. Yeah, it could be. Whoa, look at that. It's from Virginia, someplace. That's gone.
Hang up.
Langley. That's right. If we see a giant red beam cutting across the lawn here from the satellite, we'll know
outer space.
That's from outer space. That's right. Anyway, it's not going to be like a gotcha thing, says Dr. Elliot Marcus, Associate Commissioner for the Health Department's Bureau of Food Safety. Can you imagine this guy? I mean, what we're trying to do is to ensure compliance. We aren't looking to generate revenue for the city.
No.
Bullshit. This is unbelievable.
Because we can still fine you, and you can still continue to do whatever this is doing.
But, I mean, think about it. When they talk about enforcement.
That's right.
Right. It's just going to cost you $2,000
right,
a day.
Exactly.
No,
no
problem.
But it's not a money-making thing.
No. We don't care. That's right. Just going to charge. You have to charge a little extra for those donuts.
Right.
Each
and
donut,
believe me,
$100 per
which
donut.
Then, of course, the police department is going to get a stipend, a donut stipend. Because
that's true.
As the Brits,
and they'll ship them in donuts from Canada. Too.
Right.
That's right. We get our donuts from Canada.
That's your man shipment down the Hudson River.
Well, that's the first thing they're going to do on the day that this. When does this law take effect?
Actually, it's the first part of the law takes effect in just, I think, January 1st. But
really?
On donuts,
right.
They've allowed until about the middle of the year, until July or something, for them to actually remove the trans fats from that.
But the problem is, even if they went and confiscated all the donuts, panic frenzy, they won't keep, right? I mean, you can't, store donuts.
But they're used as evidence, right?
Yeah, I'm just saying.
He's talking about them go confiscate all their storehouses now.
Yeah, exactly, just so that they got a stash.
Oh,
that's true.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
That's true.
Hey, guys, let me tell you how it's going to work.
All right.
There's going to be a Krispy Kreme franchise in the basement of the police station in New York, okay?
With an exception.
On international territory.
Right.
It's going to be an extension of the Canadian consulate.
Can you imagine all of the embassies and what are the other ones?
Absolutely.
Their international territory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And of course, what do you think Krispy Kreme's going to do? He's going to set up a franchise on every one of those embassy grounds, international.
Oh, yeah.
And you just go, you can reach through the bar.
Embassy.
Everybody's police beat will touch Embassy Road.
That's exactly. Well, the consulates are going to do a bang-up business, you can see, around the country. There's consulates all over this country. And you can imagine whether you, of course, you wonder a little bit, if you're down in Austin, or some, not Austin, but whereas San Antonio, you'll get the Mexican donuts, of course, and then we have a little Mexican
donuts.
We have a little Mexican gold here, man. We're gonna put this. We're gonna import this up to New York, where they really do it. This is the Mexican. This really got the trans fats, man. And you can see the trucks on their way. Trans fats, I guess, are not illegal to transport across state line.
Mm-hmm.
Until you get to New York, and you just kind of wonder where you can. It'll be like that Beverly Hills cop when they come through. Instead of cigarettes, it'll be a truckload of donuts.
There'll be this donut ring around where they sell donuts right outside of New York.
So cute. Yeah. Donut ring. Yes, very, very nice. Very way to tie that one, or way to pitch that one off. There, this is very good. Okay, moving right along. Hard to believe FEMA again is in the news. New Orleans.
FEMA.
They have wasted some money in New Orleans this time. Hey, this is about the hurricanes were what, 3 years ago or two? Two and a half years ago, roughly. Mm-hmm. The hurricane that came through and blasted the walls down. Of course, nothing's
No. The 1 year anniversary was just a few months ago.
That's what I said.
Yeah. You said it in different words.
That's right.
In
different words.
With a two in there.
Well, no, but that's for when you talk about very small values of two.
It
approaches one. Two is right next to one.
Yeah,
right.
I understand.
It's about the same thing.
My non-mathematical mind.
We know you have your mathematical website there. But I'm shocked, mind you, that this could happen, that there'd be a waste. It turns out that they've done an audit now, and it's about $1 billion that is down the toilet, and it's fraudulent assistance. People, hard to believe, are gaming the system, and they're signing up for two or three different checks to be sent to who knows where. They said our work shows for individual assistance payments, at least tens of thousands of individuals took the opportunity to commit fraud, said Gregory Klutz.
Good for them.
He said that it's
Mr. Klutz.
Yeah. Who works for Congress's investigative arm. He said that the previous $1 billion estimate of wasted aid was now likely understated. Now, you can imagine if he says it's probably very large value of one, again, like $5 billion. And I hope that FEMA has learned a costly lesson. Of course, it's not costly for FEMA. Nobody gets fired. It's costly for moi.
Right.
I mean, we're the ones that are paying the tab. Thank you so much.
Oh, they, we already talked about this. They could have given every homeowner $500,000 or $1 million or something
absolutely,
like that.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Just, it was the same thing with the, we always said this, you were too young to remember this, but during the Vietnam War, we said, send them a check.
Right.
$50,000, we're out of here.
Right.
I mean, that's just, this is a lifetime annuity for everybody in North Vietnam. $50,000, boom, no guns, no bombs, no kids dead,
right.
No pictures of kids on napalm, burning napalm, running right. Down the road. They just make them all rich, boom, done.
Right.
And, of course, they have to spend the money in the United States. Hello? Right.
Yep.
This is the ultimate in job creation for the United States. And as it is, of course, we burned up the country, and now it turns out that they are one of our biggest trading partners, it turns out, now that the communist,
right.
The horrible communist North Vietnamese, it turns out, are supply. If you look on your clothes, they're supplanting Indonesia and Taiwan as places where you get your stuff made.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, anyway, the deal is that they...
So how are they going to fix it, Jimmy?
Okay. They decided to, let's see, here's the way they're going to fix it. They're going to talk. They're going to focus our rebuilding efforts as to greatly improve our reliability, accuracy, and response in providing aid to disaster victims. And what they're going to do is they're going to consider and evaluate any new findings.
Hmm.
Fixes in.
Wow.
Yeah, it's hard to believe. I mean, boy,
God, that solves it.
Yeah, no, I'm ecstatic about this personally. I can see this will never happen again.
Right.
That certainly...
They're taking every precaution.
Every precaution they are going to consider and evaluate.
Mm-hmm.
What else could you ask for?
Pretty much nothing.
I don't think so. And I just wish that I'd been one, and I suppose, to...
I mean, they collected, like, billions of dollars.
Well, not only, of course, did they pony up something like $80
billion
from Congress.
Right.
But there was the volunteer stuff.
Right.
Well, Jimmy and Mrs. Jimmy drove through... Biloxi,
right?
About
did you sign up for your check?
Should have, should have, but it was still a disaster area. The only place that was open was a casino, which you would expect.
Right,
of course they were doing land office, but they couldn't get a room at the casino. There were people right. buried in there. Gamblers,
right,
were all there, and of course outside was dial 1-800 no gamble.
Right,
that sign was weather beaten, torn, tattered.
Right,
because in case you decided you didn't want to gamble, which I don't know why you go to Biloxi. He wouldn't go there for any help. Okay, so that's the theme report. Oh, so while we're in New Orleans,
mm-hmm.
hard to believe, no scandal in New Orleans as usual. William Jefferson wins re-election.
Hmm.
Special. What happened was, I think, if I'm not mistaken, in the general election, which was like the 4th of November, there was like a three-way tie. Apparently, they don't have a primary, or they don't do it the way we do here in Florida, where you weed out the winners or losers.
They have a Napoleonic code.
Ah, that's right. Because that's right, the Napoleonic Code, exactly right. So where were the...
Napoleonic what?
We have here in Louisiana, and we've got the Napoleonic Code.
Okay.
In the words of Marlon Brando there, or Tennessee Williams, and the Streetcar Named Desire. Okay, anyway.
Well, I want to tell you this, my friend. We have in New Orleans, we speak the French language.
Yeah.
And we decided to elect William. Anyway, this is Mr. 92,000 in the freezer.
Louisiana.
Right. Re-elected.
Right.
Hard to believe.
And that's just because he couldn't finish burying it all in the backyard.
I would guess. And of course, they call it the $90,000 allegedly found in his freezer. I love this. You know,
yeah. Still under investigation.
Right. Yeah. They have photos. They have video of the FBI agent reaching into the freezer, pulling. But it's allegedly.
Well, right. Because just before that, his hand was reaching in, placing the money in there. And then
he wanted some cold, hard cash.
That's well, he certainly. Cue the crickets.
Oh my god.
Gino's on. Gino can't. Gino. Hi, Gino.
Hey.
Gino decided to check in and say hi.
And throw up.
Yeah, that's right.
Throw up.
So it turns out that he was running against somebody, some lady named Carter, who did not apparently come to the table with clean parts of her body, or clean hands either.
Uh-huh.
And she raised like five times as much money as he did, but he pulled it off, as they say, anyway.
Wow.
Because he played the race card. She'd be white and he'd be black.
Mm-hmm.
Black,
but he's
as we say in South Africa. Anyway, Ray Nagin,
mm-hmm.
Chocolate Ray, decided mm-hmm. that he endorsed Jefferson, and he's a Harvard educated. I didn't realize he's a Harvard educated lawyer from rural North Louisiana, 6 of 10 children, so forth. So anyway, bottom line is he gets to join Alcee Hastings in the Congress who was also impeached, actually, by the Congress years ago and kicked out of Congress by the, mm-hmm. by the House of Representatives. Mm-hmm. We don't want you here. Reelected, he's back. Mm. So
he's back.
And of course, the big news of the reason we're here about Alcee Hastings was because he's got seniority, he was supposed to be like head of the some big committee, Ways and Means, or some huge committee. And Nancy Pelosi was deciding whether or not to
pass.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, right. So they passed on that. Speaking of, let's see, did I want to talk about, did we talk yet about Mr. Braindead?
Nope.
No, okay, we're going to the New Orleans. Excuse me. While we're speaking of New Orleans, here's the segue, okay? A lot of water around New Orleans, now we're going to the Coast Guard. Mm-hmm. See, notice how that segue
it's so professional. You planned this list or something.
I actually, hard to believe, Jimmy had 2 weeks to do research on this. And about 4 minutes before we actually started streaming.
You started?
I started. That's right. I am one of those people. This is one of the reasons I did so well in high school and college. I got straight Fs. I mean,
consistent.
I was consistent. That's exactly right. One of the things I found was on the way to class, you do the reading as for the quiz. So if you're going to have a test, as you're walking across campus, you do the reading. Mm-hmm. And that way,
it was fresh in your mind.
That was my thought. That was my thought.
Why take the chance that I could get blown out by some keg party when I can, like, sit down and do it? Right?
That's right.
Okay. You don't have to put it in there twice.
Yeah, that's inefficient.
Right. That's right. That's right. It was very efficient. And of course, it would. The object was to time it so that as it goes through your brain, just as you're writing it down on the piece of paper, right. And then it falls back out on the floor. And as you walk out of the room, you forget it.
Right.
And free up all that brain space.
Yeah, you're one with nature.
That's it. One with nature. That's right. Don't need that anymore.
No.
Answer that question.
So what's up with the Coast Guard?
The Coast Guard has spent, they apparently appropriated billions to upgrade
billions.
The fleet. Billions and billions. That's right.
What are they going to upgrade? Guns?
Yes, that's exactly right. The fleet. Mm-hmm. And, well, we talked about, of course, they want to do all that shooting on the Great Lakes. And
they actually started that.
Some people are still, they did it anyway.
Yeah.
To fire off some of their new guns, their new toys. I mean, isn't that great, though? When you think about
it. No. It's an air raid siren. And doesn't make any sense.
Okay. Put Curtis back on the sound effects.
He's trying to use sound effects that we didn't use.
Yeah, sure. I've got three, I think, that I've found.
He's bootstrapping them in there. You know? Right. I mean,
these are going to make absolutely no sense. No, I believe that there was one or two Bender quotes that he didn't use.
Right.
And some Stewie quotes. We might have to fall back on Stewie. From whatever that is.
Okay. So they're shooting off guns in the Great Lake?
Well, no. What the deal is that it turns out that they had to upgrade. They wanted to upgrade all their cutters and everything in order to chase down the people. What they're worried about is people, when Fidel dies, the flood of people that may want to come across the straits.
There's a flood that wants to now, but we're still going to shoot them out of the water.
Well, they want to upgrade the boats. So they want to give them new guns and new boats.
Right.
Because apparently, it turns out that something like somewhere between 25 and 60% of the fleet is not seaworthy. Mm-hmm. If you can believe that.
25 to 60?
Yeah. Depending on where it is and what it does. So now they want the new fancy cutters so that they can really get those inner tubes. Mm-hmm. I mean, they want to be able to blast those inner tubes.
Let me tell you, when you're chasing down the flotilla of inner tubes,
yeah, you need to have the best. And, you know. Miami Vice.
When you're plinking holes in inner tubes at a few hundred yards.
Yeah, you need that howitzer.
Okay, we got
the new 50 cal.
Yeah,
new 50 cal.
With tube piercing bullets. Right. Special. Exploding on contact with rubber, or if you happen to be coming over in a really old Chevy.
Right.
You know, they did that. Did you see
what I saw that. Cocked it up and
tried to float it over from Cuba. We're going to drive. Hey, man, we're going to drive to Cuba.
No, turn left more.
So Stitch decided on now. Says, and he's upset that we called him whore dog. And he said he's going to send ninjas here. He does not know the power of the force. Doth will slay ninja only with his mind. We don't worry about ninja. So anyway, the deal is, it's hard to believe soon after the hurricane, the Coast Guard found cracks in a bunch of their boats. And cracks. Hard to believe. No, I'm talking about, well, no, wait a minute. It actually doesn't say. Anyway, they have to apply. They have a 10 or 15 year policy of renewing everything. And it turns out that all the money is most of the money's gone and nothing's been done. Hard to believe. So
where does all this money just go?
You know, it's
like $80 billion for Katrina. Is it still sitting in a bank?
You wish.
Yeah.
No.
Well, first they bought a bunch of trailers, and then they threw away those.
Right.
They had, speaking of that, I did see on the news, they interviewed somebody who was complaining because they were still living. They showed one of the trailer parks where people are actually living.
Right.
Here in Florida, of course, the trailers are just rotting empty.
Right.
They didn't, because they weren't allowed to use them
They could have had their million-dollar house.
Who?
The people in New Orleans. With all the money that was wasted,
right,
they could have had a million-dollar house.
Right. That's right.
Right.
That's right. Up on stilts and everything.
Right.
Could have been back there. The deal is that, of course, New Orleans is changing since all the people that had any brains have split and got jobs. All the doctors and people that actually made any money, a lot of them took off, which is one of the reasons that Jefferson was elected.
So in other words, like, all the money's gone out of the kitty for the people for New Orleans. All the money's gone out of the Coast Guard. And the ships are still rusting in dry dock.
That's right.
Cracked.
That's right. The deal is, one of the things that, again, I don't want to get into this right now. I think maybe I have another place to do this. All money is wages. People don't, they think that if you spend money on the boat, that somehow the boat gets the money. No. It's the people that redo the thing. Mm-hmm. So the question is, where'd the money go? It's up in some bureaucracy, obviously, and it's not a government bureaucracy. It's somebody, they wrote a check to somebody to study the crack on the boat, and they did.
Right.
And they're still high.
We studied all the crack.
That's right. You saw where 52 pounds of something floated.
Yeah, the big square grouper.
No, it wasn't grouper. Square grouper is marijuana.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. It was the...
This was cocaine. This was cocaine, man. He floated ashore. It was like 52 pounds or something down here in New Smyrna Beach.
Right.
And
that's that big yellow thing you got in the back of your truck?
No.
Wait.
Stop the woo. But I was thinking about this. Small digression again. I was thinking about this. If you were to see this, if you were to notice a... Well, you think this would either do one of two things. Either it's a trap.
Right.
Oh, yeah, man.
Mm-hmm. You go and you pick it up. And what?
You shove your head in the bag and... Yeah, that's Kilgar. You do your best Beetlejuice out of there.
No. You shove your head in the bag and 47 agents run up on the beach and rigging hovercraft. You know, they pop out of the rigging water with
they could not make that stick, could they?
That's like going to be an entrapment out the wazoo.
It would be if they'd set it there.
Right.
But let's say somebody had called right before you found it, somebody else found it, and they called, and all the agents came around, and then you happen to be passing by guy number two.
Right.
Oh, well, and do you think this would be trafficking?
Oh, my God.
You know, you would never see daylight again.
One of the stories we will talk about it probably is how the word trafficking's changed.
Yes, ever so slightly. But my point is this. You're walking down the beach, and you see the plastic wrapped up thingy on the beach, and you go and you figure, my boat has come in. Of course, you do have
to grab a paddle and paddle it back out to sea.
Well, apparently what happened was the girl or whatever was, they looked at it like kryptonite. I mean, they called 911 without even getting near. They did
the fear is that you're sitting there with your buddy going, woohoo, woohoo, and somebody else walks up and they go, hey, what's that? And you go, man, this is mine. You know, I got this or whatever. And they take out a big gun and they go, you know, it's unfortunate now that you know what this is, because now we have to kill you.
Right, because we were waiting for this to float in.
Exactly.
We're from the anti-gringo mafia, right.
Right. You know,
and you're dead. That's right. Well, and of course, they'd probably kill you even if you didn't know what it was. That's what are the...
Maybe, yeah, because, I mean, you know...
If you picked it up, you could say, testify, hey, man, that's one kaboom. Yeah, exactly.
You know, that...
No, that's exactly right. And I suppose that would be... Boy, I tell you, that's when you need a
sniper.
Well, no, you need a.
Hopefully, you're in your pickup truck.
Well, no.
Your buddy gets out and throws it in the back of the truck,
and he gets shot.
The gas.
Actually,
right.
It's somebody that you don't know gets out and throws it. You pick up a hitchhiker to do it.
Right.
No, this is when you need a.
Tank.
A cloaked warbird.
Harrier. Right, a cloaked warbird.
I mean, seriously, this is when you need a bird of prey. A cloaked bird of prey. You come down.
That was on my Christmas list.
Well, it was.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't see that.
I didn't see that.
I haven't read it yet. I got it right here. I was going to read it later for like.
This is in the Neiman Marcus catalog or what?
I haven't found it in there. It was in my wish list.
Okay. Cloaked warbird.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll certainly.
It's important, the cloaking part.
I understand that. Warbird, anybody can get a warbird.
Right.
You know, those are like a dozen a dime.
Yeah, I mean, you got to be chic.
So anyway, the costly fleet update. Okay, great. Now, moving along to more Senator malfeasance and good fun is, wait a minute.
Brain dead dude?
No, not yet.
Illegal images.
Yeah, illegal images. Okay, here's the deal. Senator McCain, I think it's McCain that did this. They want to protect the children, and they're all worried about child pornography on the web, on the internet.
This is the children times the sex, thing. It's just like, I mean, I can't see how it could get any worse, and this is hyper hysteria.
No, this is beyond belief. Here's what they want. Apparently, you are required to rat if you ever see, it's like this cocaine thing, I guess, on the beach. As soon as you see what you think might be a not appropriate pornographic child porn. You are required. You will be required by law to report it.
Yeah, and if
I mean,
you
this is straight out of Stalinist Russia. I mean, this is unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you how it's gotten in the criminal society right now, in the criminal community. If in the medical situation, if you see anything that you suspect to be child abuse, you must report it, or it's a felony. Okay. So this is, you take your child to the doctor, child has a bruise on it.
Right.
If a doctor concludes that another doctor might reasonably conclude that this is abuse, okay, then they're going to go ahead and report it, because if they don't, of course, it's a felony.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what you've got is no more patient-client confidentiality. That's totally gone. If you take your child to the doctor and the child has bruises on it, you better watch out. In the state of Florida, chances of you losing your kid are high.
Confidence is high.
And the reporting thing has just gone bananas. Literally, all the professionals, anybody who's licensed, they have control over.
This way, isn't that the truth? That licensing is...
It's just anathema to free society. It's amazing.
I'm going to mention this also as a corollary to this. One of my favorite shows is the medical thing with Hugh Laurie called House.
Uh-huh.
And in case anybody hasn't seen it, the last four or five episodes, they are yanking, not arbitrarily, but they're yanking licenses from doctors in order to get them to testify.
Mm.
And they just arbitrarily...
No, licensing is just, it's such an incredible control that they have over people.
What is astounding, of course, is the fact that here's in the show, for instance, there's an oncologist and he's got patients who need these very special drugs and they're going to die without the chemo or whatever he has prescribed for them. So they pull his ability to write the prescriptions and suddenly all these patients are at risk and the cops like don't care. You know, then you have to justify.
Well, look,
it's your fault.
You can't count on the cops to care. You know, you can't count on the enforcers to make the decision that they're not going to go enforce. That's not what happens. Those are the guys who go get the people. They're the boys in blue. They're the ones who go pick people up. That's all they do.
This is like in the Law and Order thing when they have the investigator guys. What's this? I forget what those.
Ice-T.
No. Well, yeah.
You mean
right. Those guys
Tommy Lee Jones or whatever? You know, I didn't do it. I don't care. He says. Well, yeah. That's his job is to not care.
Right.
So it doesn't. He's not supposed to think about what the rules are. The rules have to be changed up in the Congress.
Right. Well, or state level or whatever
right.
it is. But the you're right. And this, of course, goes on to show how what started. I mean, what's phenomenal about this is bad enough with the drugs that it seems to me that Congress has a wish list that we should all be in pain because if you want to get any Oxycontin or Vicodin or anything like that, I mean, you risk everybody's license and future and everything in order to get the pills if you are in pain. And this is kind of a hold that they almost like a torture chamber that they got over you because you really have to be in serious pain, and you have to kowtow to the powers that be in order to get your pills, and everybody has to abide, quote, by the rules. No lax if there's any hint that you might not be totally in pain, you don't get the drugs. Anyway, here, we're talking about this is expanding now to the images, and it says here that they are posted by, let's see here, millions of commercial websites and personal blogs, mind you, would be required to report illegal images or videos posted by their users or pay fines up to $300,000.
Now, let me give you an example of where this can come into effect. You have a new baby. Or you have a young child, you know, and you show your 2-year-old swimming in the bathtub and they're naked.
Right.
That's child pornography, could easily be construed as. And we're talking mandatory minimum sentencing. We're talking all sorts of incredible charges, you know, sexual registration everywhere you go for everything. And what I'm talking about right now is what you're talking about, which is, You're the reporter. That is to say, you're the non-reporter. You're the person who didn't turn in your neighbor for posting their child's picture on their website because they wanted to show their relatives or something.
Right.
And all of a sudden you're picking up the felony charge.
Oh my God.
And so I mean
it's a wide net.
I haven't seen it hasn't started to trickle in through the court systems yet. The reporting people.
Yeah.
I've never defended anybody for not reporting.
It seems like that would be a hard thing to prove in a way. Although
It is because you'd have to have bona fide abuse. You'd have to have the problem is that they're popping everybody for what's not abuse.
Right.
I mean, you can get charged with child abuse these days for doing something like changing your child's medication, which, you know, I have a case like that now where the dad didn't think that the kid was getting the right medication. They had a couple of doctors say something different. They followed the different doctor's advice. And they're charged with child abuse because, you know,
unbelievable.
Right. And so, you know, you've got.
Well, let me ask you a hypothetical question. The doctor that reports as possible child abuse, the kid comes in and there's bruises and the doctor says, oh, shoot, I'm going to lose my license. So they do a little investigation. They find out that this is like the fifth doctor that the kid's been to. And do they go back to the other doctors and arrest
them?
They
could.
Arrest them for not reporting it?
It's starting. I haven't seen that yet, but one thing
I
know.
How about these receptionists or the nurses or anybody else?
Yeah. I mean, one thing I know about.
Kid was coming through the door crying.
Yeah. One thing I know about prosecutors is that if you give them a law.
They'll prosecute.
They're going to prosecute it. Yeah. I mean, if you tell them that these people are responsible, what they will immediately say. In their own minds, they will decide that secretary and that other doctor, the prior doctors and secretaries, were responsible for the abuse, as if they had done it themselves.
Right.
And they will prosecute them to the full extent of what's a felony, you know, and they just run with that idea. They take, legislatures found that it's going to be a felony, defined it as a felony, therefore it's as serious as hacking somebody up with a machete or something, you know.
I'd say that's true. That makes sense to me. But you brought up a point here, and I'm going to read from this article. This is one of my favorite authors. He's a computer geek, Declan McCullough. Anyway, the U.S. Justice Department, for instance, indicted an Alabama man named Jeff Pearson last week, and this is about 2 weeks ago now, on child pornography charges because he took modeling photographs of clothed minors with their parents' consent. The images were overly provocative, the prosecutor said.
Mm-hmm.
So the parents said, this is fine, modeling. And as you know, it's one of the big things. There was an article. There was a story last night, as a matter of fact, on 2020. The new deal is on the runways, the modeling runways. There are kids 4 and 5 and 6 years old modeling clothes that are hundreds of dollars from Versace and people like that. And John Stossel or whoever it was had walked into these upscale boutiques where they're selling size 2 clothes, I mean kids 2 clothes, he says, how can you do this? How can you spend $400 on a pair of fur-lined boots when you know they're going to outgrow them in a year? Well, my child deserves it, et cetera. So, I mean, like, who cares?
You got $50 million or something.
No, that's true. But my point is that he was incredulous on that somebody would spend that kind of money on something that's to be outgrown and in a garage sale in 2 or 3 years. And I've seen that here, speaking of garage sales. And so what? Of course, my thinking is, that's the market, that's fine. But my point is that when you see these little 4 and 5 year olds prancing down the midway, the little thing, how soon is it that you're going to arrest those people for child pornography?
Well, the pendulum is still swinging on the child thing. That is to say, it's still getting, people are still totally in alarmist mode, and children are, the people are, quote, they're rushing to protect children. And one of the reasons why is because they've gone way beyond what adults will allow them to protect. That is to say, You got a bunch of people out there who are trying to make laws for everyone's benefit, you know, the do-gooders, and kids are an easy group to protect because they never speak up. They never, nobody's gonna stop you from protecting kids.
Of course, I've always found that it's interesting you should mention that. They're not gonna, and they don't vote, of course. They don't contribute to campaigns. And of course, kids either lie when you say they want, when it's convenient for you to say so, or they always tell the truth. On other instances, you know, when they interviewed the children for possible sexual abuse, they interviewed them until the kids said, yes, he touched me here or something like that, because they obviously the kid wanted to satisfy the interviewer. And that's when they told the truth. Other than that, they were lying for the first 45 minutes or 2 hours or 3 days or whatever it was.
Right.
Well, that was all lies. Now that I got the right answer, right. Now the kids
now
the
you
truth.
Can get off that low-protein gruel and...
Right.
Well, that's right.
Everybody
lets you go to sleep.
Right. Yeah.
Let's turn off the Klieg lights.
Right. And rock and roll music.
That's right.
Yeah. And everybody these days thinks they know what's best for kids, and it's all like you said,
except the parents.
Well, yeah. They
parents know nothing.
Well, they're just individual people, you know,
as opposed to non-individual.
As opposed to government agencies that are created to do good.
That's right. That's true. They're noble, and they never make a mistake. One of the things that, and I've. I guess this is kind of a truism in a way. What I find interesting in an organization like DCF, for instance, or the education system and others, and one of the people that brought this out very saliently is one of my favorite people that I listen to all the time, is Stefan Molyneux at freedomain.com. And he has a very short article that pinpoints it on Lou Rockwell now. And it's this. You give these guys all the law, you give them monopoly force, you give them the guns, and nobody else gets guns. In other words, you're the ones that are allowed to carry the heavy weapons. You have all the money to do whatever you want, and in addition to that, you have sovereign immunity. We can't sue you if you make a mistake. Now, here's the way. Now, protect the children.
Right.
Or educate the children. And, of course, the question immediately arises is, what happens if you don't? You know, what do you do? What happens if your agency is not protecting the children? What happens when kids
die? Well, you lobby for more money.
Exactly. I mean, exactly, because
you follow the Parkinson's law, and then you obviously need
you
more.
You need more money and more people. I mean, you think about it. They've got everything going for them. They've got everything going. I mean, can you imagine how much good could you do when you have a monopoly on doing the good? You have a monopoly on the force. You have a way to get the money that nobody can shortchange. Or if you don't get the money, you go collect it. I mean, you show up at their front
door. They're gonna pay,
and if you screw up, you have sovereign immunity. Nobody can sue you, basically,
right,
for it.
Right.
So, I mean, you have got everything on your side to do the right thing. How can you screw up? How can it happen that you would screw up? I don't understand.
You'd have to be like human or something.
Ah, that. Oh, yes, that thing.
See, now, if you were like human, then...
Or human, as yeah, what's his name used to say.
Then you could screw the whole thing up, and with no check, like is in the free market... on your doing good,
right?
Like as if you had a business, people stop buying your stuff.
Right. I mean, if your business was to take care of the kids.
Let's
say, for instance, you had a Taco Bell and people started getting E. coli poisoning.
Right.
You might want to close that store.
Right. Right.
People wouldn't have to buy. It's not like they can go out and arrest everybody on the sidewalk and say, "Give me money for my," and I'm still going to poison you.
Exactly. Exactly. But you know now. We don't have to do that because we've got the EPA protecting us from everything that's in our food, too.
Well, one of the things that I find interesting is how they continually blame the victim on this thing. You know, I'm reminded of a theme that runs through so many of the action movies. And the good guy comes up on, or the parents come up. They come in the room, and here is the bad guy with a box cutter at the little girl's throat. And he says, if you don't give me the money, if you don't do whatever, if you don't open the bank vault, the blood will be on your hands. It's your fault if your daughter dies.
Right, right.
It's
right.
Your fault. You are to blame. And I'm thinking, quite literally, of course, the blood's going to be on his hands in about a nanosecond. Mm-hmm. But I mean, this is so typical of governments. They pass laws and they say, well, look, if you don't pay or whatever it is, you know, you're at fault. You people out there, you didn't do the right thing. It's your fault. And but they're the ones holding the box cutters.
Yeah. I see that all the time with the Department of Children and Families. They come take people's kids and then they go, well, you're not working hard enough to get your kids back, you know. It's your fault.
It's your fault.
That these kids
blame.
You know,
it is astounding to me how they get away with this blame the victim thing.
What?
And it's like there's no escape because you're paying on both sides. Not only you're paying your attorney and for your upbringing and everything, but through your taxes, you're paying for the offense. It reminds me of of that Star Trek where they were caught in the little web thing. Do you remember that?
The Tholian web?
What was it called?
The Tholian Web was the one where the little things kept crossing and
took their energy every time they tried it. And they finally had to like drift out or something.
Right.
However, they
slingshot out.
Was it slingshot?
Yeah. That's
yeah. Well, anyway, the point is, every time they fired at the engines, they got in tighter.
Right.
Okay. That's what this is. I mean, we're our energy is feeding our adversaries.
Right.
Yeah.
And they'll kill you if you don't pay them. I mean, literally, they'll send somebody around to shoot you.
Yep. That's, you know, if you always wanted to play offense and defense, this is a great way to do it.
But not simultaneously. You know, switch sides, okay.
You want to take a break?
Yeah, we're going to take a break. It's about 4 o'clock. We're going to take a break for about 5 minutes.
All right. We'll be back.
My friend, stop! Sure, we could tear this house down. No! My friend, stop! Let me finish.
Hey, this is Engineer Eric from the Jimmy Dunn Show, and you just finished listening to part 1 of our December 16th podcast.